Welcome to the sermon series of Paley Presbyterian Church.
So we did just get back from vacation, which was lovely and wonderful. And you heard just a tiny bit about that last week, but had the opportunity to be with the whole family, including the boys and the girls and Patty's wider family and Addison's fiance's parents, which were fun, so that we were kind of all there together. But you know what it's like when you get together with your family, right? You want to make new stories, and you make new stories every time you're together, but you know what it's like when you're together with your family. Those old stories keep cropping up at different times, especially the classic stories. So in our family, we have the classic story of Patty and the boys and Auntie Loopy, and that's my name for her. That's Patty's second oldest sister, but they went cliff climbing one day with the boys when they were young and, you know, energetic and all those kind of things. And they went cliff climbing on a shale cliff. Does anybody know what shale is and what shale does? So, you know, the boys are light and they're excited and they love to climb. So zip, 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 up they went. And so Patty and Loopy are kind of climbing around. And my sister-in-law is pretty dang competitive, so she's not let these boys get past her. And so she pushes along as much as she can. And then she gets to a point that she realized rocks breaking all around her and she can't do anything. And I am absolutely not going to share with you the colorful language my boys learned that day as Auntie Loopy was hanging on to one little twig. Help! I'm going to die! Help! Well, so, you know, that gets told and it gets bigger and bigger as the years go on and more fun as the family continues to tell that story. And the end of the story for me is always, why? Why did you guys do that? I just don't understand. And so, you know, they go with the good answer, because it was there. Right? And because it was there, where does that come from? Do you know who quoted because it was there? George Mallory. George Mallory, when he was about to attempt his third time to get to the summit of Everest, is known for those words, because it's there. Such simple, simple words for a man who was very, very eloquent. In fact, he wrote, "Everest is the prodigious white fang excrescent on the jaw of the mountain." So what? So a guy who wrote like that and talked like that is best known for saying, because it's there. Just because it's there. So Jesus is inviting Peter and James and John to a mountain in our scripture today. And not just because it's there, but he wants them to learn to see God in every moment and in every way. In fact, you have no idea how proud I am as a father of a PK, a pastor's kid, who totally gets it. He sent me an email this week and said, "Dad, I saw God this week." And so he sent me this picture. Jesus was here. Oh, you all get it, right? The water changing into wine. So on my little phone, it took me a minute to go, what? Why is he sending me a picture of Jesus drinking wine? What's he saying? Oh, water, turning water into wine. So our invitation today is to look and pay attention to the Jesus who is revealed. Jesus took that inner circle, his favorites, Peter, James, and John, up to that mountaintop. It was after the time where they had been in Caesarea Philippi in that northeast corner, close to Mount Hermon, close to where Syria is today, where Jesus asked them all, who do they say? Well, some say that you're Moses, some say you're Jeremiah or other prophets. And he asked Peter, but who do you say I am? And Peter said, you are the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah. So after that declaration, It says that 6 days later, and that's kind of key, that they went off together. And so Jesus took his very favorite disciples with him, Peter, James, and John, his favorites. So that might sound a little funny, but I mean, truthfully, and you know who you are, three of you are my favorite here in this congregation. I don't know why that's funny. I mean, seriously, three of you are my favorite people. And I'd do anything for the three of you, and I'll try to do my best for the rest. But I mean that. And so he went up the mountain with his three favorite people. Is that right? Does that feel weird to you? Why these three? Why James, Peter, and John? Do you think they really were Jesus' favorite disciples? Do you think he lined them up and said, these three are my favorite, second favorite, they're okay? I mean, you know, this has just never made sense to me. And even when they call him the inner circle, that's still kind of talking about that element of being drawn out above everybody else and favorite. As I struggle through this passage, because three times, at the healing of Jairus' daughter in the Garden of Gethsemane, where they didn't do that well, and here at the Transfiguration, we have these three disciples who are drawn out and brought together. The way that I can put this together in my life is realize, and Jonathan and Becca can probably talk to this too, it's not about having favorites, but there are times when I spend more time with certain people. Because they want more, because they're hungry, because something is happening in their lives. They want to grow. They need help growing. There's something going on with them that they need this special thing. So sometimes that does happen, but that doesn't mean those people are my favorites or Becca's or Jonathan's favorites. It's just something that happens throughout different seasons. And so that's how I have to play with this passage here as the three are drawn out. Jesus would do nothing that God wouldn't want him to do, and Jesus certainly wouldn't want to exclude and have favorites and, you know, all that kind of division that would happen with that. So when these three are drawn out and brought to the mountain, there's something going on in their lives that they're ready to see and experience something in a different way that will empower them for their journey that's there. Peter, we know well, and we've had a sermon on him earlier this year. James is the one that we're focusing on this day. James, the brother of John. James, the fisherman, the son of Zebedee and Salome. Salome, that wonderful mother, and oh gosh, we love mothers. They do such great things as she grabs her two boys and she comes up to Jesus and says, hey, listen, these are my boys. They're great. They are really great. Can you do me a favor in your kingdom? Can one sit at your right hand and the other left? I think that would be a good thing. That's mom lifting up those boys, and those were great boys, right? And John the Beloved, we're not focusing on John, but John the Beloved, and even in the Da Vinci picture, you know, he's kind of leaning his head there, so you think he's sweet, but what's the nickname of James and John? Sons of Thunder. Somebody said it back there. The Sons of Thunder. Have you traveled in the Middle East and ever asked for directions? In fact, Yasser's here, so you could do this for me a little bit. Sometimes, my good friend Yasser's here, and sometimes when you ask for directions in Egypt, I feel like people are in a major argument and somebody might get hit. But really, you're just talking to each other and saying it's down to the left and take a corner and turn at the whatever and all of that. I mean, it's passionate, that kind of discussion that happens over there. So when you hear Sons of Thunder, that's way beyond just regular conversation. These guys have energy. In fact, we learn in Acts chapter 8 that James was the first to be martyred. He lost his head to Herod Agrippa. And we can imagine maybe it was that Sons of Thunder tongue or action that got him in trouble quicker than others. So James' heart was ready at this time as Jesus, after the confession of Peter, as Jesus invited James and John and Peter to go with him up to the mountain. So here's God, hear God's words to us this day. Six days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. As he transfigured before them and his face shone like the sun, his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, Lord, is it good for us to be here? If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud, a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were consumed with fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one. No one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." And the disciples asked him, Why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" And he replied, "Elijah is indeed coming and will restore all things. But I tell you that Elijah has already come." And they did not recognize him, but they did to him whatever they pleased. So also the Son of Man is about to suffer at their hands. Then the disciples understood that he was speaking to them about John the Baptist. And this is God's word to us, each one of us, this day. It's a beautiful image here. Being drawn out, having the opportunity for your worldview to be altered forever. James, with Peter and John up on that mountain, saw something change. We have beautiful imagery that happens here in this passage. Why does the scripture tell us 6 days later? Was it 6 days since the confession of Peter? Were they traveling around all that time? What was the 6 days in there about? It's very interesting until you know that everyone would know scripture well and understand scripture well. And when they heard 6 days, it would take them immediately back to Mount Sinai, where when Moses went up there to receive the law, 6 days he was in a cloud up on that mountain. And after those 6 days, the clouds disappeared and the glory of God was revealed to Moses, that he might know God's word, that he might know God's grace, that he might know God's purpose for Moses and for humanity. 6 days. And so when people originally read this letter, 6 days, they immediately would have drawn back to that mountain and that mountaintop experience and what it means to be changed. Now, each one of us would love a mountaintop experience, I'm sure, right? Love for something to happen right here before us. But we have something that happens before us every Sunday as we gather together and worship. We have something that happens before us every time we turn to God in prayer. We have something miraculous before us every time we open up those words of redemption through Scripture that God has left us. So in the same way that James is reminded why he should listen, what he should listen for, and how he should listen, so too are we reminded of those same truths. Why should we listen to this word of God? Why should we listen to this revelation? Through the witness of word, through the witness of those around us, through the witness of the church of all the centuries, everything points to this is the living God who is revealing God's redemptive story to each one of us. That's why we should listen. Why should we listen? Because not only do these words and this revelation have meaning for us this day, but they speak to us about the future. So what we learn this day and how we're transformed as the three disciples were as they went up that mountain is the same invitation for each one of us to continue to be transformed by the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the presence of God. And what is it? What is it that we're to be transformed by? Versus the person of Christ. Very clearly here on that mountain, in the glory of that moment, as they would understand the glory of God that shone upon Moses was the same kind of glory that they experienced seeing that with Jesus and the words of God speaking, "This is my Son, whom I am well pleased." The person of Christ is powerful. The person of Christ is important for each one of us to let go of our own desires and views of the world and recognize the difference that is made when we see that Jesus, the person of Christ, is the Son of God. Why listen? How listen? How do we listen? Reverently, devotionally, and obediently. These can just be words that we share on Sunday. They can be things that you can hear on a radio. They can be quick words that you read every morning and go, "That's my God thing," and put that aside. Or we can remember what that mountain experience is like, that transformation and the invitation to be transformed as we read and hear these words each day. I don't believe James was a favorite. I don't believe Peter or John or Thomas or Philip. I don't believe they were favorites. I think they were people. They were followers of the living God who had different moments in their lives where they were invited continually and continually to be transformed. And not that they would feel peace, which they will. And not that they would feel good knowing that, which most certainly they will. But the purpose of being transformed and understanding the glory of God is the purpose that God gave the people of Israel and God continues to give each one of us so that the world may see God. That's what we're all about, each one of us, individually and joyously, as we unite together. So celebrate the climbing of that mountain, the transformation that happened on that mountain, and the continued transformation that happened in those three people's lives. I want to end with a story about mountain climbing for each one of you. As you think about your devotional life, as you think about the ways that you have been transformed, as you think about where you sit right now, hear this challenge of a very clever written little story called The Mountain. I tried to climb the mountain today. As I inched my way up the path, I felt overwhelmed, so I had to turn back. I tried to climb the mountain today, and on my journey, darkness started to fall, and I was full of fear, so I returned to a safe place. I was ready to climb the mountain today, but it was so hot outside. I thought I better stay in a nice air-conditioned house and rest up for tomorrow's attempt. I was about to climb the mountain today, but I had so many things that I needed to do. So instead of climbing the mountain, I took care of much more important tasks. I washed my car, I mowed the grass, and I watched the big game. Today the mountain will be just there. I was going to climb the mountain today, but as I stared at the mountain in its majestic beauty, I knew I stood no chance of making it to the top, so I figured, why even bother? I have forgotten about climbing the mountain today. Until a friend came by and asked me what I was up to lately. I told him I was thinking about climbing the mountain someday. I went on and on about how I was going to accomplish this task. And finally he said, I just got back from climbing the mountain. For the longest time, I told myself I was trying to climb the mountain, but never made any progress. I almost let the dream of making the top die. I came up with every excuse of why I could not make it up the mountain, but I never did once give myself a reason why I could make it up the mountain. One day, as I started at the mountain and pondered, I realized that if I didn't make an attempt at this dream, all my dreams would eventually die. The next morning, I started my climb. He continued. It was not easy, and at times I wanted to quit. But no matter what I faced, I placed one foot in front of the other, keeping a steady pace. And when the wind tried to blow me off the edge, I kept walking. And when the voices inside me screamed, stop, I focused on my goal, never letting it out of my sight, and I kept moving forward. At times, I was ready to quit, but I knew I had come too far. Time and time again, I realized myself that I was going to finish this journey. I struggled to make it to the top, but I climbed that mountain. I have to be going, my friend said. Tomorrow is a new day to accomplish more dreams. By the way, what are you doing tomorrow? He asked. I looked at him. With intensity and confidence in my eyes, I said, I have a mountain to climb. We all have all kinds of reasons and excuses. Busyness, forgetfulness. In our journey in climbing that mountain with God, in going to those holy places so that we're sitting long enough that we can be transformed and things change in our lives. And we don't continue the same patterns, but we do things differently as God would desire and God would want from each one of us. So as James went up that mountain and was transformed with Peter and John, invitation is just as powerful and just as simple for each one of us this day. Come to the mountain, God says. Come to the mountain and climb and be transformed.